I mean, for a second there, I had some really high hopes about Monday Night Football. I was all jazzed up. The fact that we were going to have a game with offense on national TV, and it wasn't the Bills or the Chiefs. Really, I was psyched. I was thinking this was the opportunity for the Broncos to redeem themselves. When they marched down the field and were able to move the ball, they were able to pass it through the air, they mixed in the run game, and there was a touchdown. Oh, the heavens opened up. The Chargers did the same thing. They also had a touchdown. It was amazing. I'm thinking Monday Night Football is about to redeem all of the national games that have been A, snooze fest, although that doesn't really matter because I still have to watch them anyway. B, reason and source for all of you peeps to complain about how terrible it is. And maybe just see the kind of offense we haven't seen across the board in the NFL so far this season. Survey says, just it only lasted for about a quarter and a half. And then, if you like kicks, if you like field goals, if you get your kicks on Route 66, I mean, this was all the way at the end of it in Los Angeles, but for a second there, I was really excited. That's what it's come down to, right? Have you noticed that offense is not as prolific in the first 6 weeks of the regular season? We might need to figure out what is going on. What's happening? Now, does it change the ratings? Of course not. We are still all about our NFL, and the ratings are, they are what they are. In fact, in most cases, they're up across the board. But it's definitely been a slow start to the season when it comes to offense. Even those quarterbacks who have been in their systems for multiple years, even those quarterbacks who are future Hall of Famers, even those teams that have a ton of weapons. Come on, be honest. You did not think that Minnesota would be one of the top teams in the NFC. They've got weapons, of course. But people poo-poo Kirk Cousins, even though he's relatively solid. But he's not flashy. He kind of figures out what works for him, and he sticks to that, come hell or high water. But they've won four in a row because they're solid. They're not turning the ball over as much. They're protecting the home field. The Eagles, of course, the Bills, we definitely should put the Chiefs in that conversation. Those are the teams that are showing us some pretty dynamic offense. And yes, lots of teams flash the bling for a couple of seconds here or there. But the lack of consistency, especially from teams where we expected them to kind of pick up where they left off last season, the Rams being another example of that. Where, oh, where are you, offense? What has happened? Wherefore art thou, offense? I know, I make myself laugh. If I don't make you laugh, it's totally fine to throw something at the radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, ALOL Radio. If you haven't yet voted for Monday Mortification, miserable and mortified on a Monday. Oh, how did my photo pop up on? All right, so I was going to wait for a second, but I'll just tell you, I have a guest here in studio, and I'll let her introduce herself coming up a little bit later on. Sorry, Casey, you have to wait till we get through the football. But it's fun to have someone here, except it's a little strange because they're eyeballs staring at me. I ignore producer Jay most of the time because he doesn't listen anyway. And so it doesn't matter really that Jay is looking at me. Well, he's not really looking at me, but the Jay's on the other side of the double pane glass. Because again, most of the producers, they like tune me out after 2 months. It's just a thing. It happens. But to have someone in studio with me, especially because she thinks it's super cool here. And I keep trying to tell her, I don't know. She works in TV, so I can't imagine why she thinks this is super cool. However, we do have something, I would say, a fun surprise for you coming up a little bit later on. But yeah, we'll introduce our guest here in studio in a bit. But pretty much everything has to fall in line behind football around here. You know, that's how That's how it goes. The NFL is a jealous lover. They get all upset and nervous when you start paying too much attention somewhere else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Eyeballs staring at me. And so, yes, Twitter or Facebook, easy to find us. And if you haven't yet voted in our poll, it is there on both of our social media sites. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Producer Jay, do you want to tell the peeps what we have coming up? Or, see, like, generally you ruin surprises, but I'm actually asking you now to break the news to the peeps because you did a great job showing up here early to make sure that we had everything in place and that it didn't really work. But still, the thought was there. It's the thought that counts. It's like when someone gives you a terrible Christmas present. Well, it was the thought that counts. So anyway, we worked behind the scenes. The host was really nervous, but...
we have quite the surprise coming up on this edition of the show.
Oh, that's all you're going to say?
Well, I'm good. That's a little tease into it. Oh. As we get into, we have Mr. Kurt Warner joining us tonight.
Boom. Boom. So excited. You guys know I get really nervous for only about 5 people in the entire industry. But Kurt Warner is one of those. Oh, my gosh. So the whole Monday Night Football being on the West Coast just worked for us. And Kurt obviously is a Hall of Famer. But he's also an NFL Network analyst and a Westwood One analyst with Kevin Harlan. Just got off the broadcast of Broncos and Chargers in L.A. And so we'll ask him 6 weeks in, what is going on with the offenses around the league? And did you all notice? Did you see it? Did you hear it? 2 more, we'll call them controversial, at the very least head scratchers, roughing the passer penalties. We've been asking people how to define it. We even threw that out to you last week. How would you define it if you could, if the competition committee asks you? So when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you ask these kinds of questions. You don't want to miss it. Coming up next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Whew, breathing. Whew. I actually told producer Jay that I was going to try Aaron Rodgers box breathing. I still have no idea what that means, but box breathing it is.
Box breathing.
So do you think it's something along the lines of where you inhale for 6, hold for 6, exhale for 6, and then a resting 6? Can you even do that?
That sounds like a lot of breathing.
It is. It's box breathing. It's so you slow and control your breathing, and that way you generally control everything. Like, everything else becomes a little less.
I feel like that would stress me out even more, trying to breathe like that.
When was the last time you exercised?
Oh, yikes.
No, didn't you play basketball recently?
Yeah, I did, actually. That's right. About 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Do you know what my stress level would be like if I did not exercise for 2 weeks? You would not want to be around me. I'm not sure you want to be around me now, but you definitely would not want to be around me if I didn't exercise for 2 weeks. Notice that Jay did not speak up. He just like shook his head as in like, you're right. I don't really want to be around.
Never
you.
Said that.
Is that false?
False. That is false.
Okay. So as I say, I had such high hopes for the game after the few drives that we saw in the first quarter and then on into the second quarter. And then it really devolved into what we've seen for the most part from the Broncos and even the Chargers, too. The fact that Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley have been together for a couple of years doesn't seem to matter early on, although it really doesn't matter in the desert with Kyler Murray and... I know they've got a lot of injuries. They lost DeAndre Hopkins, but with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. And to that end, we'll talk a little bit about Arizona as well. But yeah, when the Broncos busted out with a big first quarter touchdown, I was thinking, giddy up!
Mike Boone in the game to his right. Wilson steps up, floats to a wide open receiver, gets it to 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Greg Dulcich! How about a welcome to the NFL drive for the rookie out of UCLA.
That's Dave Logan on Broncos radio. And yeah, not that long after, we saw the Chargers answer.
Third down, long one, short two from the
sixth
handoff. As Herbert got the snap, he gives to Eckler. They're shoving him in, down the hash mark and in for the touchdown. Bulldozing, sledgehammering, Eckler takes it in. On a 6-yard touchdown run into the teeth of the Denver D. And the Chargers are on the board with a good-looking drive.
Okay, so see what I mean? It was 10-10 at one point. I was really excited. And then if you love kickers, the rest of the game was for you. Brandon McManus, he's a fantastic kicker. Dustin Hopkins, he's a little injured, but he was out there grimacing and feeling the pain and still doing his best to gut it out.
Hopkins to tie this game at 16, and the Chargers have never led. And the kick is good, and we are tied with 3:58 to go in the game.
Matt Smith, is it me or is he just, he's over it too? 3:58 to go.
And the kick is good.
Maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's that is him really excited.
And we are tied with.
Okay. I know I can be over the top with my excitement and my energy level. Not generally on Monday night, so no fear. But yeah, he sounds like he's done with it, except just like the Broncos and Colts a couple weeks ago, Jay literally told me that was the worst football game he's ever seen. Yeah, worst football game he's ever seen.
Still, I think it still holds true.
Still, 2 weeks later, it's the worst football game.
I think so. That was that bad.
It was. Well, we got bonus of the worst football that you've ever seen. And tonight, same thing. Now, this wasn't awful. It's just that, of course, it was going to go into overtime, right? Because it was a field goal fest, and we had to show off our kickers even more. And honestly, even when the two teams had opportunities to end it early and nip it in the bud, it wasn't happening until we got one colossal mistake.
And this is a big kick from Scott. Fair catch signaled for, and it's on the ground. Ball is on the ground. Ball is on the ground waiting for a signal as they pull bodies off. It's Charger football. All right, here we go from the left hash. 29-yarder for the win. Dustin Hopkins. Snap, hold, kick is up, and it is good. Chargers win.
Well, he had a little energy there. All right, maybe he's just saving it up for the end of the broadcast. Matt Smith, he knew it was headed into overtime. Matt Smith on Chargers radio. So, yes, they end up winning, and it's because late in overtime, the Broncos muff a punt. Now, if you remember this play, or if you happened to be listening on Westwood One, they were a little confused on both TV and radio because Montrell Washington had a teammate that got pushed into him, and his teammate actually bumped into him as the ball is coming down into his gut. And for that reason, the ball, not only did he not catch it, but the ball goes bounding away. Actually, it doesn't really bound. It twists, it turns. Sometimes it rolls and bounces. It's a slippery little sucker. And so Montrell Washington can't catch it because his own teammate gets pushed into him. But there was no penalty flag. We actually got a clarification about it. His teammate is the one that hit him, which means that there's no penalty. Even if his teammate was pushed into him, there's no penalty because it was a guy wearing the same uniform. And Montrell actually says, it's on me to make sure that doesn't happen.
It's my job for him to get out the way, like for me to get him out the way. So I gotta be louder. That's just all it is to it. I just gotta be louder to help him out to where he can hear me. I know it was louder in there, but still, it's my job to be louder than what it is in there to help him out. So that's on me.
You learn something new every day in the NFL. I had no idea. I would have assumed that was some type of interference, or it was still classified as running into the returner, or not giving him his bubble. There's some technical term for that. But instead, it was not a penalty at all because it was his own teammate. It's a little bit like when you have three outfielders or an infielder and two outfielders converging on a ball. And if they run into each other and they end up dropping the ball, well, hey, that's on them because they didn't communicate or the ball. My favorite is when you've got three guys in a little triangle and any single one of them could reach their glove out and catch the ball. And somehow it manages to drop right in between them.
Yikes.
Exactly. We'll get to the baseball, by the way. So, yes, eventually the Chargers won in overtime. We were subjected to an extra period of this. The offense just, it disappeared. It cut, like I said, with my sound effects. So, what happened after the opening quarter? Really, that's the question. Latavius Murray, the Broncos offense, they looked to be in a groove, and then it went horribly wrong.
We came out, we started fast, but we just weren't able to sustain drives. So we just got to figure out a way to sustain drives, keep the ball moving, keep this defense off the field, and when we get down there, score touchdowns. So overall, we just got to find a way to score points and sustain drives. So we just got to keep digging, keep finding ways to get better, and I think we could turn it around.
Thought we started off great. I mean, everybody was catching the ball. Guys were making plays. We looked like how I feel like we should look like. We kept our tempo up and everything else. Dolchers had made a great touchdown. The energy was high early on. It's a good football team out there, but we're just as good, if not better, and we feel like. And we got to answer the call. You know, it's adversity is challenging us right now. But the only way I know through it all is just continue to work hard.
He actually said we're just as good, if not better. Huh. Well, the Broncos are not in last place in the AFC West, but they are 2-3. Chargers are now 3-2, and the Chiefs are at 4-2. Wait, not 3-2. I'm sorry. I didn't refresh. Duh. They didn't have their bye week yet. The Chargers are tied with the Chiefs. That's actually kind of funny. They're tied with the Chiefs atop the AFC West. Broncos are 2-4, and the Raiders are the caboose in the AFC West. And we knew it was going to be competitive because you've got such good teams and good defenses, but something still doesn't look quite right with the Chargers either, even though they have ended up with the 4 wins now and they've won their last 3 in a row. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Should we do a fill in the blank? The offense in the NFL is what through 6 weeks? Wanna, just for fun?
Yeah, I like it.
Should we tell people to be careful they don't use inappropriate language?
It's going to be tough not to with that question, but
hey,
yeah.
Use your words.
Use your words. Use your SAT words.
You don't have to tell me twice. Yes, so we'll do a fill in the blank. Offense in the NFL is what through 6 weeks? Got that, producer Jay? All right, Jay's going to put it up on our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS. We're going to hear from Brandon Staley, Justin Herbert, Nathaniel Hackett, and a win is a win is a win is a win. And the Chargers picked it up. The Broncos did not. And this is certainly not what Denver expected, bringing in Russell Wilson, bringing in weapons around him and having it look like this. I did hear our guest, Kurt Warner, say on the broadcast that, and actually on NFL Network as well, that he thinks they look really uncomfortable. The Broncos look uncomfortable. So then, how do you find that rhythm? How do you find that comfort zone, that comfort level? So we'll talk to him top of the hour. Do you guys remember the last time he was on the show? If you didn't, it was 2 years ago, and I was giddy. I was, like, laughing away because we teased him about the whole pork rinds thing. He used to be the spokesperson for Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds, and then they started asking me to do it. And after they started asking me to do it, he accused me of taking money out of his pocket. And so we even open... Oh, yeah. So producer Jay is going to have to bring that back just because I feel as though I've calmed down a lot in 2 years. Yes, we're going to. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I've calmed down a lot in 2 years, and so I promise not to be giddy. Oh, okay. I promise not to laugh like that, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hour.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
This podcast.
sneak of 39 yards by Dustin Hopkins. Snap, placement, kick on the way. And the Chargers have beaten the Broncos in overtime by a final score of 19-16.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan on Broncos radio. We heard Matt Smith on Chargers radio, and top of the hour, a member of the Westwood One broadcast. So we got Monday Night Football covered. Didn't sustain the offense past really the first quarter and a half. And it's not just about the numbers, but the numbers certainly do tell part of the story. For instance, the Broncos were 0-for-1 in the red zone. So for as much as they were going up and down the field, they only got one official red zone trip, and they were 0-for-1. The Chargers were 1-for-4 in the red zone. And this is despite the fact that they were 11 of 22 on third down. That's a lot of freaking third downs. You don't often see that many opportunities in a single game for one team. But there were a lot of opportunities. And they were 50%. But they didn't get over 300 yards. And they were 1-for-4 in the red zone. Now, one more number that I will throw at you is 10. 10 Denver penalties for, get this, 151 yards. So they don't go over 400 yards of offense. Actually, I don't even think they went over 300 yards of offense total. And they had 151 yards of penalties. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's the official number. 258 total yards of offense and 151 yards in penalties. You know what that is? Gross and a waste. 151 yards? Didn't the Dallas Cowboys have 10 penalties on Sunday night against the Eagles? I feel like they did. And they waste so many opportunities that way, not just with turnovers, which they had three of them, the Cooper Rush interceptions, but also with the penalties. One step forward, two steps back. The Broncos can't afford to lose 151 yards in penalties. And it's on both sides of the ball, right? Offense and defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We know that Dustin Hopkins, the kicker for the Chargers, got to be the star of the show.
He had a hamstring, like, kind of cramp, strain, you know, just didn't feel right. And so, you know, you can't say enough about him hanging in there. And then you can't say enough about J.K. Scott coming in and kicking off and doing an outstanding job kicking off for us so that Justin could save himself for field goals and PATs.
It didn't matter. And I don't mean that like, oh, I could have kicked it from wherever. That's not what I mean. It just meant if it was going to hurt, what's the difference if it's 20 or it's 55? You know, it was just like, well, give it a rip. And that was it.
We've got so much respect for him. We know he's hurting. And, you know, that's the great part about the NFL is those guys, you know, they're committed to our team and he's tough. And that's all you can say about him for him to go out there and play and put up with some pain like that. It's great to see from him.
We have so much respect for those guys. Do you think that's true? Do you think quarterbacks do have a lot of respect for kickers?
You're looking at me. No.
Well, just in general.
When they make it.
When they make it. But when you don't, it's a very thin line of respect versus you're dead to me.
Was it Parcells that said he's not a football player, he's just a kicker? I mean, that's pretty much, yeah.
Don't you remember?
I don't need him to play. I need him to kick.
Do you remember the flap? Was it Matt Vanderjagt? The Colts kicker.
Idiot kicker?
The liquored up idiot kicker that Peyton Manning went after when he did something stupid. I don't think it was social media. I think it was pre-social media. But he said something in an interview about Peyton Manning, and then Peyton fired back with, you're going to take the word of our liquored up idiot kicker.
Pretty sure that was also after he missed like two or three kicks in 05 against the Steelers. That was right after that.
So, yeah. It is a fine line. If you are able to make the kicks and you're doing it injured, well, then the respect factor in the locker room grows. Brandon Staley and the Chargers are now at 4-2 and tie for first place with the Chiefs.
This was a complete team win. It was a tough, rugged game. Outstanding defense over there. And it was tough sledding in every way for all four quarters in overtime. And it was just a tough and rugged game, and it took everybody in Powder Blue to win it.
2 years ago, maybe that's a different story. And for us to go out and close and finish and to get that turnover on special teams like that is huge for us. And just to stay in the fight, come back from 10-0 early on, you know, it says a lot about our team.
So for Denver, while they did have a few positives, highlights, and did start out the way that they did with a 10-0 lead, not only the penalties, but also the muffed punt, the turnover, and just the inability, really, to move the ball after that. And so it started fast, but it petered out. What's the old adage? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, in that case, we should just forget about the start for the Denver Broncos, because that's a distant memory now.
This is very disappointing. We need to have a lot more urgency across the board. Starts with me as a coach, going to all the other coaches, and then to the players. Players need to be, just more urgent. We had some opportunities there, and we got to execute at a higher level. We got to come up with some better plays.
We don't have division in our locker room. I mean, you guys saw how hard we played for each other tonight. I mean, everybody, it didn't go our way, but everybody's fighting their butts off every day. The guys up front, all line, receivers, tight ends, running backs, the defense, the defensive line, linebackers.
Did he forget a unit?
Our safeties and corner. I mean, everybody's playing for each other. We felt like we could have won the game.
Here's what I don't love, though, about what's happening around Russell Wilson. It's definitely not the offense that Broncos fans or that the NFL was expecting when he took the job in Denver or got traded to Denver and then got the big contract. I get that. There's a lot of disappointment. But all of a sudden, if you noticed how everyone's taking aim at him personally, he sucks in the locker room, his teammates don't like him, this, that, he's odd, he's awkward. Like, it never used to really be an issue. I guess when you're winning, nobody cares if you're an odd duck or if you... I don't know if you happen to say something weird like Broncos country, let's ride, even after losses. All of a sudden now everyone is taking aim at him. And I kind of feel like it devolves into lowest common denominator radio. I don't love it. I don't love the fact that people are criticizing him as a person when they've never really been in that locker room. But yeah, it seems like all the juju around Russell Wilson now has just, it's turned personal and there's attacks and it's this and it's that. It's not really about the football right now.
Yeah, but also remember, too, like, we heard a lot of this stuff, the awkwardness, the weird, and all that.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. People made fun of him then. Problem was, he had a Super Bowl ring. And he had stock in Seattle.
Yes.
You go to Denver, you get the big contract. No one has anything from you. You've done nothing for them. So when all of that comes through and then you lose, that comes out real fast.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Amazing how in pro sports people will turn on you just like that.
But in fairness, they didn't really turn on him. They had nothing to do with him. He just walked in. So he's goofy, he's awkward, he's weird. He has no stock and he's done nothing before
this. Okay, but don't you remember how Denver was electric and buzzing and all excited and all preseason, all we heard was how much energy he's bringing to the building and how psyched everybody is around the Broncos. This is our savior. How many times did I hear that word coming out of Denver? This is our savior.
Out of Denver, out of fans. I didn't hear that out of the players. It's a difference.
Oh, I heard some players in preseason not using the word savior, but just how excited they were to have him in the building.
Yeah, I'm sure. Again, you get a good quarterback, everybody's excited until it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work and you act the way he acts, look, let's be fair. The guy's awkward. Like, I don't think he means it.
I'm awkward.
No. It's different.
Oh, it really is.
It's
unlimited.
You don't do that stuff. Like, who the hell does that?
Everybody has to have an alter ego.
Jay was trying to explain to me his Subway commercial.
That's what I'm saying. Who does the dangerous sandwich and talk to no one? Who the hell
does
this?
Witch? What did you call it, Jay? He said it like two or three times to me, and I couldn't. Yeah. What are you talking about? I couldn't understand what he was talking about.
Yeah. So you got the unlimited. You got the danger witch. I mean, guys have already kind of said, I mean, you heard the Richard Sherman talking to Marshawn Lynch. If you want to get in touch with Russell Wilson, even if you played with him, you got to go through his PR people. Like, these are not good things, okay? So when you have those things and you kind of separate yourself, and, you know, with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks back in the day, everybody talked about the Legion of Boom and, hey, it was Russell Wilson, he's young. They're like the same age. And at what point do you grow up? I mean, you're 34 years old. You don't realize when you're talking to no one, talking about a danger witch, and it's a spicy sandwich, someone's got to explain to you that this is strange?
Well, okay, but if you could take a ribbing and you don't mind if your teammates make fun of you.
I don't think it's a ribbing, and
I don't think
he realizes.
You don't think Tom Brady's teammates made fun of him for posing in GQ with a goat?
Yes. I think he knew he was doing something that was awkward. I don't think
Russell
Wilson knows.
Russell Wilson does. Interesting.
I don't think he gets it. And then if you don't go out and throw for 385 yards and three touchdowns, you're going to hear it.
We're
and more
fickle.
Importantly, they're going to talk to each other. I hate to say it, but you're seeing it on the Denver sideline. Guys are looking at each other going, what the hell is going on?
Oh, you know, it's definitely gotten
and that's
gotten
the
messy.
Biggest problem. You can't have the whispers. And the whispers are not whispers anymore. They're like talking in front of his face.
Which is why Russ is answering questions about how we're not splitting up and the locker room is still on the same page. So
I'm unlimited.
Maybe you start with
such a long time ago.
Get rid of the Let's Ride. Can you stop with your brand for like 5 minutes?
I hate that. Is that his brand? I thought it was a nod to Broncos country and the fact that they're horses.
Maybe
stallions.
When you start. When you lose, do you really have to end the press conference with Let's Ride?
No, I agree. It's very awkward when they lose.
It's on brand for him, though, and I think he's way too worried about his brand. Huh. Stop with that nonsense. Get to know your teammates.
The best was after their, was it the Colts loss, when he's standing in front of it and he goes, Broncos country, and he walks off, and you hear the distance.
That's what it gets. It gets more and more. You know where you know it's under his breath. It's mumbled, but he has to say it because he has to say. Well, I have to show the confidence that I'm going to say this every time.
I was not confident. We saw the back of your back. Well, we saw your back. We saw the back of you when you were walking away.
Well, you know what? Then you obviously got a lot of PR people around you. Can you get some that are not kissing your rear end and actually tell you the truth?
That's a good idea.
Because that would really help.
Yes. In fact, I wonder that sometimes about stars. Even stars need to have people around them that will be honest with them and will tell them when. This is not a good idea.
I don't get... I get it that people don't like to hear negative. That doesn't compute in my brain.
Well, in sports, to
me,
though.
To me, if you don't hear a negative, like, how do you get better? So that I don't get that part of it. But that's their mentality. Unfortunately, people also have to take care of their livelihood. And if you tell somebody like a Russell Wilson, apparently, from what it seems on the outside, something negative, you just don't work there anymore.
Speaking of negative, the Buccaneers offense is brutal right now. 20th in the NFL, barely 20 points per game. And Tom Brady was addressing that on his podcast and also had a special guest who actually likes the fact that he yells at his linemen on the sideline. So we'll hear that coming up. We're asking you to fill in the blank. And we put the post up on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Emojis are welcome, I suppose. But here's the question. It's not a question. Here's the statement. The offense around the NFL this season has been what? So that's on Twitter or you can... Did you put it up on Facebook? Okay, so it'll go up on Facebook very soon. Top of the hour, Kurt Warner.
You are listening.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades. And with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit. Grade the trade. Fantasy cops to settle your league disputes and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Into the After Hours podcast.
Yeah, the Buccaneers are going to go for two-point try. Buccaneers. Bucs are 1-for-2 on two-point efforts in this season. 2 points to tie the ball game. It's 20-18. Brady shotgun, looking left. There's a shot. Oh, it's incomplete. Knocked down. Tried to get it to Chris Godwin at the goal line.
They did a good job. You know, the guys that were in there did a good job for him. They tackled well and limited some run after catch. We just missed too many opportunities in the red area. And, you know, it's a game of scoring points, and we just didn't do well enough on third down and in short yardage situations, and certainly not well enough in the red area.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Tom Brady. And before that, well, you hear it. It's a lot of empty possessions, futility. And it's not just Tom Brady. It's not just the Buccaneers offense. But you would think after this point with a great quarterback like Brady and even the Packers with a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, that there would be some type of rhythm and flow, and yet it's still a lot of stop and start. It's still very disjointed. That's the word that comes to mind. Really disconnected. And I've said this about the Buccaneers. Sometimes it looks like they're stuck. They're just mired in the muck. And other times it looks like they're out there all running 11 individual offenses and not on the same page. So All of that to say that it's not clicking yet, and yet that's fairly standard around the NFL right now, where we don't really have a lot of great offenses 6 weeks in. So we're asking you to fill in the blank on Twitter and Facebook. The offense around the NFL this season has been what? Fill in the blank. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, at our phone number, 855-212-4227. Tom Brady hosts his Let's Go podcast / radio show on SiriusXM with Jim Gray every Monday. And a lot of times I'll go back and listen to it in its entirety on Tuesdays when I have the opportunity. It's a Tom Brady that you do not hear in press conferences, and I'm hoping this is the Tom Brady, minus the swear words, that we will hear on Fox when he finally takes over in the number one booth along with Kevin Burkhardt. But yeah, he was going to have to address the offensive struggles of the Buccaneers to this point.
We're not scoring enough points. We're not playing well in the red area. We've been very inconsistent on third down. The game is about points. You know, it's not about yard, time of possession. All those things factor in, but the deciding factor in every game, and this is to point out the complete obvious, is points. Did you score more points than the other team? And in three games we have, another three games we haven't. Even in the three games we won, we haven't played the way we're capable, certainly offensively. So, you know, we've all are kind of licking our wounds, looking at the last 6 weeks and trying to do a lot better, having more communication about things that we think we need to do moving forward. And it's going to be a big challenge. You know, we have a big challenge ahead of us. Things don't magically just solve themselves. You know, things have to become solved. You have to put the right time and emphasis into the things in order to improve them. And we got a lot of work to do.
Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray and a special guest. So this is kind of interesting. Kevin Durant joined them on the Let's Go podcast, and the timing seems to work, right? It's the last free night that Kevin Durant has for a while because the NBA season kicks off. No, not kicks. I mean, if you're kicking, you're like Draymond Green. It tips off on Tuesday, and there are a couple of games. I'm just not in hoops and hockey mode yet, but I think it's kind of cool that the Golden State Warriors will raise the banner and will host the Lakers on their first night. And then Boston, man, this is the team that, of course, was the surprise representation of the East in the NBA Finals. And man, how things have changed. But it's Philadelphia and it's Boston in the early part of that doubleheader. And so nationally televised games, all excited, blah, blah, blah. It's such a crazy offseason in the NBA. Remember when Kevin Durant tried to be traded and then he tried to get his owner, the team owner, to fire the coach and the GM, and now he's back and acting like everything's wonderful? Remember that?
Who cares?
Yeah, right. We all care. You know you care. His power play didn't work, but I don't suppose anybody's going to remind him of that, right? Anyway, he was on, probably not Tom Brady, he was on with Brady and Jim Gray, and actually, Durant likes the fact that Brady was expressing his displeasure with the offensive line Sunday.
It happens, especially in the heat of the moment. I mean, you want to find a solution fast, and, you know, sometimes, the best way to do it is to, you know, handle it in a moment. So you let it simmer until halftime or until the next time out, then you might be, in our case, down 10, 12 points, you know. So we want to correct something as soon as it happened, you know. So you seen that yesterday. You see that all around the NFL. That's why I like when they show so much access to the sidelines, because you stop play to think about your next play, you know, the whole game. So you always got to be in constant communication. And that's how I feel we got to be on the basketball court too. So it's pretty cool seeing that.
KD and Brady also talked about being older athletes, which I thought was funny since Kevin Durant's 34. Tom Brady's 55 and plays a violent collision sport, and KD is 34, but he's had a lot more injuries than Brady has. Brady stayed relatively healthy throughout the course of his career. Oh, okay, I'll do that. How about you take your own advice? That would be some kind of interview. If Kevin Durant ever agreed. Instead, in lieu of Kevin Durant, I'd rather have the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, top of the hour, joining us from Los Angeles After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. But I told you we have a guest in studio. Her name is Casey. You can decide if you want people to know your last name. That's totally up to you.
Yeah, you can tell them.
Oh. I think you're going to have to turn on your mic. So Casey actually works in broadcasting, but you wouldn't know it by the fact that she did not turn on her microphone.
Is it on now?
Okay. Yes, it is. We could have producer Jay control the mic if you want. Would you? Could you like go around the room? You know, when you are in some kind of a new setting, go around the room and introduce yourself. Casey is on the other side of the country, so here in New York City, she normally works in the Central Coast of California as a TV sports anchor. There can't be that many, actually, sports director. There can't be that many females in the entire country who are sports directors at their TV stations. So that's amazing.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. I asked Casey earlier, what's your favorite thing that you've done so far in New York City? And did you tell me something about walking across the Brooklyn Bridge? That's what you said?
I love Dumbo. So I think Dumbo, every time I see that cute little blue bridge, it's my favorite part. But, you know, this was the most packed I've ever seen the Brooklyn Bridge. I think I just went at the worst time of the day. That I didn't love so much.
Well, welcome back to New York City.
Yeah.
It's packed everywhere you go. And it smells like pot everywhere you go.
Yeah, it smells bad pretty much everywhere.
Yes, it does. It's either trash or pot, one or the other.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of downsides. Can't lie about that. But there's a lot of upsides, too.
Okay, if you say so. No, we're here, so yeah, so there's upsides. And in your market, what would be the top sport that you would cover in your market?
Ooh.
Slow.
Well, Cal Poly baseball is pretty huge. So I talk a lot about Cal Poly baseball. We had
surfing.
Three MLB
Do you surf
draft.
In your area?
You know, I really should cover some more surfing.
You should.
I am terrified.
And find
of
some
that.
Hot guy to teach you how to surf.
Yeah, that'd be
that's
great.
That's a good idea.
That would be great for sure.
No, that's it?
That's
Cal Poly
it.
Baseball?
Yeah, Cal Poly baseball. The football team has one win, so we talk about them, but it's a little rough.
Mm.
High school football is huge, actually. It reminds
yes.
me a lot of West Texas, which is really shocking.
So if you can't
actually.
Tell, Casey has a Texas accent.
You think so?
I do, which is totally cool. Lots of cool. We have many affiliates in Texas. Dallas, of course, 105.3 The Fan. Do you want to say something to your dad in case he happens to be listening?
Oh my gosh. Hey dad, how's it going? My dad is so excited about me knowing Amy. I think he's your biggest fan, I think. He's one of them.
Bigger than my mom?
My uncle's a pretty big fan, too.
Nice.
My whole family is a huge fan.
There's three of them.
And your mom. Yes.
Wait, my favorite part is that Casey told me tonight that your dad's actually the one who encouraged you to reach out.
He did. When he found out you were from Syracuse, that you went to Syracuse, he's like, you have to reach out to Amy Lawrence. She is the most knowledgeable person that I listen to.
That's really cool.
Person. That's how I said person, not woman.
Person. Okay. Yeah. Any chance you ever want to do radio? It's fun. We have more fun on this side.
I think I love the fact that I'm in tennis shoes right now and sweatpants and no one knows. That's the greatest part.
It's beautiful. It is really nice.
But you still get dressed up.
I was well dressed up. I just don't want to look like a slob. I mean, that's a pretty low standard right now. All right, Kurt Warner is coming up next. Casey is hanging out with us here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.